This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Jets have their quarterback, BT. We didn't get a chance to react to it because it happened basically right after we left the air yesterday at 2 o'clock. Your thoughts on your team getting their new quarterback in Justin Fields?
I think the Jets played this really well. You know, it's about time the Jets have a quarterback out there who's an athlete. The Jets never had this kind of player. So, you know, I look for a couple of different checkpoints, at least for this version of the Jets quarterback, because I don't think they love anybody in the draft, and there's no home runs out there in free agency or trade. So I wanted somebody who was young with upside, who's got an exciting style of play. I wanted to see the AAV. I wanted to see the length of commitment. I think the Jets nailed this. Now, this doesn't mean that the Jets go out there and they've got some prolific offense. But what I think it means to me, it's a clear shift in, number one, organizational dynamics, but also how they're going to play. And I think the days of trying to load up on, you know, multiple top flight wide receivers, which very rarely works, I think the Jets are going to go back to almost a Rex Ryan style. Think about their other moves, a quarterback, a safety, obviously need to tighten up the defense. And between, you know, a couple of good running backs and Justin Fields, I really like what the Jets did. This should be fun to watch.
I don't hate it, and there's a lot of intrigue, but the pushback that I would have is Justin Fields a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
Different.
Right.
Better, probably not,
okay,
but
so
different.
Right. So for, in my mind, the answer is no. So the Jets then have gotten worse in that regard. And then you look at Justin Fields himself. While I like Fields, and I watch a lot of him with Chicago in his rookie season because I happen to draft him on my fantasy team, so I was familiar with what he was doing. He can't throw the football. So now, it doesn't mean that the Jets can't win some games. It doesn't mean that where they're going as an organization, like, I get it. Muji and Glenn are trying to build. The way that I would say it is, like Patino told us, or he said to you in your podcast that I think I was listening to. No, and he told us too. There are steps to building a program, right? We've talked about it with the Knicks, where the Knicks had to build that team that's going to fight and be gritty and gutty under Tibbs in his first couple years, and they were. And then they evolved to get the talent. Patino talked about it with St. John's. In this year, in year two, this is where you want to be. Guys that are going to give everything that they have and then, you know, see where you're at. And then eventually year three, you got to get the talent. The Jets right now are in year one. They're trying to build the foundation and bringing in guys. They're going to be culture guys. Now, Fields has some upside, sure, and he's going to be hungry because he wants to prove he can be a starting quarterback in this league. But ultimately, like, I don't look at Justin Fields as being the answer at quarterback for the Jets when they see prominence.
I agree with you. But what this does, and we'll get to the Giants later, see, unlike the Giants who now are operating from a place of pressure, like, you know, names are flying off the board. They don't have the guy that they want. You know they don't love the people that they could draft because if they did, they wouldn't be going after Stafford, Rodgers, all the other things the Giants are trying. See, I agree that Justin Fields is not the, like, the future. I don't think he is. You never know, but
right.
I tend to agree with you. But what he should do is inject, and you don't make moves just based on what you think the fans will think, but he's going to inject excitement, not only to the stands, but into a locker room. Played with Garrett Wilson, played with Rucker at Ohio State. And, you know, by the way, the last 4 years, he's averaged 50 yards a game on the ground, which is second most to anybody behind Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So now there's a lot of things. How will they utilize
him? You can win like that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sal, I think that if you get to a point where the Jets are going to have to steal a couple of wins this year, if they're going to be viable, right? I think the way you steal wins is you steal a couple of yards, then you steal a couple of first downs, then you steal a couple of points, and then you steal a couple of wins. Justin Fields gives you an ability to do that.
Yeah, he just can't throw the football well enough, at least hasn't been able to do that at the NFL level. And remember, he's been with a couple of teams, so I talked about it. If this were a year ago, I'd maybe be more excited because you wouldn't have seen him with Pittsburgh. The fact that he got beat out in Pittsburgh to Russell Wilson, to me, is a knock against
him. Did he get beat out, or did they just take the job away from him?
Well, whatever. I mean, Fields wasn't good enough to start. If he was the exciting player that we thought the Bears were going to get. Remember, the Bears made a choice to go with Caleb Williams over him.
Yep.
The Steelers made a choice to go with Russell Wilson over him. And now the Jets are making him their guy. The intrigue from the Jets' point of view is that they haven't had a quarterback in his realm in a while, meaning not only like his style,
mm-hmm.
but with the potential upside there, there's intrigue. He's not a rookie that they're going to throw to the Wolves. He's got some experience, and he's got the upside. He's a nice, happy medium as opposed to Sam Darnold as a rookie, Geno Smith, Zach Wilson, or the opposite end, Aaron Rodgers.
Fitzpatrick, Rodgers, Testaverde, who we love, but the older guys.
So he's in-between that brings some intrigue. I just don't feel like the Jets got better at quarterback from where they were with Aaron Rodgers. They're different, and I know that Fields has his limitations.
Well, listen, different could be bad. Different could be worse. I don't think that you get out there and you say, all right, let's start booking playoff tickets. I think this is just a sensible first step. The Jets had to change the energy of the franchise. You and I are both Rodgers guys. We wanted Aaron Rodgers to come back. If Aaron Rodgers winds up in the right situation, probably Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers will probably put up pretty good numbers, and Aaron Rodgers will win some games. That was not what Muji, that's not what Woody wanted, what Muji and Aaron Glenn and Woody jointly decided upon. And based on that decision, you've got to look at all the other options. And I just think that this young man's coming in where, you know, he's gotten enough reps where he shouldn't be overwhelmed, okay?
Right.
And because of the contract, he's not thought to be a savior. I don't know that as a New York team he could ever kind of slide in the side door, but it's not the front door with the limo like Rodgers. I think it's just a gritty but also dynamic, athletic, fast move that I really like, and I think it's going to juice up the building. I think it juices up the fan base, and if he's not good, he's gone.
Right.
And by the way, the other thing it does too, unlike the Giants, it gives the Jets a year or possibly 2 year window of clarity to make other decisions on quarterbacks, which without the gun to their head, without the pressure point of, oh God, we got to save our jobs. We got to save the season. We got to win. We got to do this. No. Go out there, change how you play, steal some points, have some fun, and make decisions as they come along smartly.
It feels disciplined. It feels right as far as building toward the future. I just don't want, like, the reality of the situation is that the Jets aren't going to be built this year to go out there and be a top team in the AFC. Now, it doesn't mean that they couldn't back into the playoffs by mistake. We've seen that happen with Daniel Jones and the Giants. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but this is year one of the Jets trying to change the infrastructure, change the culture with that organization. And after the Muji and Glenn moves, after those decisions, I feel like this is the right fit. The other thing is that whereas Wilson, Darnold, Geno, you could throw in Rodgers as well, like the ceiling was through the roof. The floor for some of the younger guys especially, we didn't know where rock bottom was going to be. And we actually saw that with Rodgers as well. But with Fields, you get the feel where you know where the floor is. Assuming health, and with a running quarterback, there's always the risk of injury.
Yeah, sure.
But Fields is not, his bottom out is going to be better than most because he can run the football.
Yeah.
Which is going to help you win games. So the floor is not going to be as low as it was with Darnold, Geno, or Zach Wilson at their worst.
Well, listen, I do think that it's a little misleading when people say he can't throw the ball. Now he doesn't throw it like Rodgers or
I know.
I'm not saying
darts, like line drives, inaccurate, no touch down the field.
I'm not saying he's perfect. Yeah. I'm definitely not saying that. But when I think of and I know the game's changed a bit, the numbers have changed a bit because there's more shorter throws, which gets percentages up. Like the Jamarcus Russells and even Alex Smith back in the day and Zach Wilson, and you know, like there are quarterbacks who were drafted where they're just dreadful right away. They're like 47% completion percentage. Yeah. They're throwing 10, 12, 15 more picks than touchdowns. That's not Justin Fields. The last couple, now, the average percentage has elevated throughout the NFL, and he's got to get his number up. But you look at his numbers, you know, he's 61, 62, 63, 64% completion percentage, couple of more touchdowns than picks, and he can run the hell out of it. So I like it. I mean, I'm going to stop short of saying love it, but right. It does seem like there's a good plan, and the Jets knew what they wanted.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Charlo.
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing?
Good. Haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on?
Dealing with my mom and dad's health issues. It has not been an easy road.
Sorry to hear about that.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right. God bless them. I still got them, and that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, I was happy with it. I thought it waited a little too long. I was getting a little antsy because we needed some kind of direction. Now, I did want Rodgers back, and that didn't work out. So, Fields I like. I mean, I thought he did a great job last year, 4-2 out of the gate for Pittsburgh. And then they put Russell in there, which I was shocked. And that was the Jet game. I was out in Pittsburgh, and Russell looked like he was playing for Seattle in the Super Bowl. But Fields has got a lot of upside. And now, can he throw the ball downfield? Is he an accurate passer? No, but he can throw the ball. I watched him sling the ball last year, and he's got the option to run. He can do two things, and we have to go some kind of direction. He ain't the future of the New York Jets. We gotta get a quarterback in the future, but he's a good thing to start for this year, and I'm not expecting goals anymore for the Jets. Been expecting that for the last 2 years.
Yep.
I just want competitive football.
Yeah, I just
want to go Sunday and enjoy my football Sunday.
Attaboy. You want to get a touchdown or two, right? You want to see the Jets get in the end zone in the first quarter, not like with 3 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the second quarter. We know what you mean. It's called modern football. There's nothing more depressing. Like the Knicks have done this back. Every team's done that. I don't need to list it because every team's done it. But there is nothing more depressing because you know it's going nowhere. When it's a reset or a restructure or a rebuild, whatever cute word you want to use, and the guy that's the focal point of whatever sport we're talking about is past his prime, and you know it. You know it.
Yeah.
Now, at least with Justin Fields, it represents potential and excitement. And that's for right now, that's good enough. It's going to throw a little juice into the building. Yeah. Juice on the practice field. Let's go.
And I do think Fields is a competitor, which
no
I
doubt.
Like. You want to have the structure with Glenn and Fields now is nice and set, and those guys are going to set the tempo, you would think, and the you know, that energy that you're talking about that feels like it has been lacking. I'm not knocking Aaron Rodgers when I say that. I'm just talking about the Jets as a whole. And then when Rodgers came here, it wasn't his own fault, but the expectations through the roof of the Super Bowl. So I kind of like what Charlie's saying. Forget about expectations. Forget about playoffs and Super Bowl. Just focus on building this thing the right way for once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have the right guy in Muji. Maybe they have the right guy in Glenn. I kind of like some of the moves that have been going on, even if it's not just with the personnel, meaning in that front office, changing some things. There's a good feel as to what's going on. I just don't. I think the expectation needs to be tempered here. To me, I don't like the way Justin Fields throws the football. I've watched enough of
just
him.
Just the way it looks. By the way, I agree. No, I remember saying that when he was coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah, well, and Ohio State, I liked him with Ohio State. I skew Ohio State for whatever reason. I've always liked them in the Big Ten. And just I've been going back to Jim Tressel, like uh-huh. I like Ted Ginn, all those guys.
Teddy Kin Jr.
So I like Ohio State for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I've watched more than them than I have other college teams. But even in college, I like Justin Fields, but again, throwing a big window
and all
those different things. And you've seen it in the NFL, and when I watched him closely, doesn't mean he can't win or have some success. Love him running the football. Love him running the football. Throwing it, there's inaccuracies, no touch down the field. Those things bother me as far as having a pure quarterback who's, if you need to make a throw, can do it. Fields hasn't proven that he can do that at the NFL level.
Now, look at it this way here. Let's go inside the Jets war room. All right, let's pretend we're there right now, and it's draft night, first round, Jets are at 7, and they didn't get Justin Fields. Let's say Justin Fields stayed with Pittsburgh. They moved on from Rodgers. Everything else that has already happened has already happened. And the Jets, let's say Russell Wilson went to the Giants, and the Jets have like a Garoppolo type. I mean, that was not inconceivable that that would happen, or Kirk Cousins type, right? It would be depressing because there'd be zero upside. But inside the war room, there would also be a sense of maybe desperation strong, but motivation to get a quarterback with juice that could represent the future. And when you think that way, because you have to think that way, you tend to, your brain can mislead you. Now that the Jets have at least an exciting, potentially intriguing option at the quarterback spot, their mind is clear. And when that phone rings and they're sitting there at 7, they could do a multitude of things. They could take the best player. They could trade back for somebody who didn't get a quarterback, because now a lot of the dominoes have fallen and there's still a team or two out there that needs a quarterback. It is not inconceivable that the Jets trade out of 7, get another first-round pick, and have 2 first-round picks to trade up next year when the draft is going to be better for quarterbacks. They set themselves up.
Yeah, I like that. And worst-case scenario with Fields is that you're going to be able to he's able to run the football, which will mask the other weaknesses. So there is no that bottom-out type thing. So, yes, laying the groundwork as far as the future and where you're at as an organization, setting yourself up for the next moves, and also knowing that on the field, okay, worst case scenario, we still should be competitive because he can run the football and make up for some of the other areas of deficiency. John is in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
So, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I'm not a Jets fan, but I am very excited for the Jets because I love what they're doing. Like, you look at all the moves that they're making, like you guys said, and it makes sense. I can really see this being a very scrappy team that can compete with, you know, the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimores of the world. Are they going to go in his favorites? No, but I could definitely see them as like a thorn in the side that if the opposite team doesn't do everything correctly, they're going to give up a win to the Jets. And it just makes sense versus their, you know, crosstown rivals or crosstown brothers. I feel like the Giants are walking on thin ice, and I just feel like every move that they're making is a little desperate. Granted, I like what they made with the D-line and signing. I forget what the space in the Cowboys. That's great. But I just feel like the contrast is so different right now between the two teams. And I'm just so curious what the Giants are going to do at quarterback to really make me feel better. But I appreciate it, guys.
And thank you for the call, John. I think you're exactly right when you say the franchises couldn't be in more different spots. It doesn't mean that the Jets are going to be successful right away. What it means is the Giants are going into year 4 with Shane and Dable, still have no quarterback. They could talk about the draft being good from a year ago, but the team was awful. They had no area on the team that you could look to and say, well, at least the defense was their identity. No identity whatsoever. They're chasing a quarterback. They're chasing trying to win now because they know everybody's going to be on the hot seat, meaning Shane and Dable. Whereas the Jets are starting, it's year 1. They failed. Their experiment with Rodgers failed with Robert Saleh. They're in year 1 with Muji and Glenn, and their moves are in accordance with that, and they do have some talent on the roster. They bring in a quarterback that's, you know, he's not going to be a rookie. He's got something to prove. He's proven that he can win a little bit at the NFL. They're in a nice spot to start year 1 of a new regime.
Listen, there's a lot of teams that are quarterback starving. The Jets were one. I'm not saying that they're eating steak here with Justin Fields, but they're getting some nutrition, right? They really are, right? So they're satisfying that a little bit, and we told you why we like it.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich type nutrition?
I didn't get one today.
A little chicken?
Yeah, a little protein, sure.
All right.
Maybe a little kale shake just to throw in some vegetables too as well. So that's the Jets, right? The Titans, now we'll see what they do at one, but at least they can satisfy that hunger by literally drafting whichever of the two quarterbacks they like if they want to. Right. They had that option. The Giants, to me, right, I'm not really sure what they do here. The Giants are putting themselves in a position where they're going to get laughed at. Like, if one or two more things happens that could against them, they're in the worst situation.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imaginable.
Yeah, and they've been active here in free agency, but there is something that I wanted to bring up to you about some of the moves they made now in comparison to the moves that they didn't make a year ago. So we'll talk about the Giants as well. Starting with Justin Fields, Jets have their man. What do you think? 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Ooh, it's just me, myself, and I. Solo ride until I die, cause I got me for life.
Yeah.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acana, back on the Fan on this Tuesday morning. And BT, we have a special guest joining us coming up at noon. Francisco Lindor of the New York Mets will be on the line. BT and Sal coming up at noon.
That's a big one.
Looking forward to talking to the should-have-been MVP one. From a year ago.
You know, I'm going to tell him that hopefully he's you know, upfront about everything and thanks me for convincing him not to give up hitting from the left side.
Do you think he's even aware of that? Like,
I don't think he is.
Me neither, but I think certain guys are. I think there are certain players that pay attention to it, certain managers that are more in tune with it, certain coaches, whatever.
Yeah.
I think there are some that totally tune out the noise and don't read anything or listen to anything. So whether it's social media, the actual radio, whatever, TV, I feel like Lindor, and I could be off on this, I don't know, never talked to him myself, so looking forward to it, but mm-hmm. I feel like he's one who does not connect with the stuff that is said about him.
I agree. I think he's all baseball, all family, and it's going to be a great spot. Yeah, noon. So noon today. Going
to
be good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
We could ask him if you want this year, if he is in fact going to continue switch hitting.
Yes, we can ask him.
There is a lot to get into with him. All right, let's get back to the... So looking forward to that. Don't miss it. Noon, BT and Sal, Francisco Lindor joining the show. So we're talking about Justin Fields to start the show. Obviously, the Jets got their quarterback. You mentioned some of the stuff about the Giants. Here's one question that I have for you. Now, I don't pretend to be a capologist, right? I don't know this stuff. I get it. I follow along with what's going on, but like... It's
you
know,
hopefully not setting me up to be the capologist here.
I'm not, because
around the room.
Because my point is, even I can kind of do this simple math here.
Yeah.
So the Giants yesterday, and they made a bunch of different moves, but the Giants yesterday signed Darius Slayton.
Yep.
3 years, $36 million.
Surprised.
Okay, well, whatever.
I was a little surprised. A little
so
bit.
It's okay. Now, again, it's not the move, but there's a point that I'm going to get to here in a second. Like, Daboll, the corner, whatever. They bring in Holland this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You could quabble with some of those moves, some of them in depth pieces, whatever. It's like, you shouldn't have to build a whole team through free agency, but whatever. Could be good moves, could be bad moves, who knows. But the reason I bring up Slayton is 3 years, 36. Now, there's not a different budget from wide receiver to running back, is there?
Budget or like AAV?
No,
I mean,
no,
the budget's the budget, but
okay,
you slice it up differently
so,
between the positions.
Whatever you want. The budget's the budget, right?
I so know where you're going. Why are you giving him 10.5 and you wouldn't give Saquon 10.5 or whatever
Dude,
it was? Is that what you...
The initial deal that Saquon left for was, I believe, 10... excuse me, not 10. Was 37... 3 years, $37.5 million, right? Hoff was telling me this morning.
37.7.
Okay, so almost 38, even if you round up.
Yeah.
So would you rather, now forget the extension that Barkley got after this monster year. Rather have Barkley for 3 for $38,
mm-hmm.
and you could even push it to 3 for $40 if you'd like, or Slayton for 3 for $36.
It seems like a weird one. It's not as weird when you factor in the $20 million explosion in the cap and... I mean, that's part of it. That's not maybe what Giant fans want to hear.
I get it. I'm just saying.
That matters, though.
I know. And no,
yeah, I know.
And no more Daniel Jones. Like, all right, the explosion in the cap. Sure, but
yeah, it's
everybody knew that the cap was going to expand even a year ago.
Yeah.
So you knew that that was going to be the case. And I don't have a problem with the Giants at the time deciding that, hey, we can't pay a running back. We can't justify paying a running back 3 years, $38 million. Like, I get it. Now, the league has... gone the other way, so maybe the Giants should have had some forward thinking like other teams. I also don't think Barkley would have been as good with the Giants as he was with the Eagles, but when you see the math, Darius Slayton, who is, you know...
He's a guy.
He's a guy. He's exactly right. Like, he's a guy. He's an okay receiver. Maybe a good locker room guy. Okay. How could you justify spending that on him but not wanting to pay Saquon Barkley, the face of your franchise?
Boy, that's a good question.
Right? Like,
I don't really have the answer, except I don't know.
Don't you think that's a bad... Now, you could bring in Xavier McKinney to the conversation, and he got a lot more than, let's say, Holland got today. So, I mean, even if it's an extra year, $20 million, and maybe they didn't think McKinney was going to be the way that he was when he left. Okay, fine. Like, I'm not going to nitpick every decision. This is not trying to, you know, jump on Joe Shane and say that he's lost.
No, just pointing it out. But what's the difference in guaranteed money? Because that's all that matters.
Yeah, but even so.
It's pretty close, and it's going to matter.
I didn't see the guaranteed on Slayton.
Did I see Slayton 26 mil? Is that what I saw?
Guaranteed?
I could be off on that, but I thought.
I still just feel like if you're valuing Slayton at 3 for $36,
mm-hmm.
the running backs are devalued that much that Barkley's going to get 3 for $37 and you wouldn't give it to him. Now, obviously, again, he got more after the extension year. But I have a hard time, and I could be totally off. Like I said, I'm not a capologist,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know exactly what the differences are. If any, I'm sure guaranteed money comes into it. Your point about the cap expanding, all that stuff, but they had to foresee that. And what, they think they were going to be good last year? Did they really think they were going to be that good last year? Maybe that's even the bigger mistake that they made. But Slayton at 3 for $36 when they said no to Barkley for 3 for $37.5.
It is interesting, but they better get their act together and get themselves a quarterback. I mean, time's ticking. I know free agency just opened up here, but what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, they're kind of waiting to see where the other pieces fall into place.
Now, let's play the game for them.
Yeah, they could be waiting on Aaron Rodgers. I heard Boomer talking about this, too, where Rodgers technically still is a Jet.
He is.
And he does not become free until tomorrow.
Correct. I actually went and talked to Boomer about this as well.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be just a clerical thing where it's going to be a June 1 designation.
Right.
So it's just paperwork. It's not like, because I'm like, okay, so if they designate him, because this stuff is confusing.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, if they designate him June 1, which they will in 99% probability, can he not sign with the team until May something?
Right.
No, obviously no. And that's where the clerical stuff, just paperwork comes in. So once that designation hits the league office, then he could sign elsewhere.
Immediately. So Rodgers technically or legally cannot sign elsewhere until June 1st?
No, until the Jets officially cut him.
Which is?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be tomorrow.
Once free agency begins,
yeah,
okay, then
once
he gets
the
released,
new league calendar kicks in,
okay.
The Jets will cut him. Because Jets property.
Yeah, right, okay. That, now it makes more sense. So the June 1st really has nothing to do with it.
He's just
for
a symbolic.
Cap purposes. Yeah,
correct,
that's fine.
Correct.
So Rodgers will officially be a free agent tomorrow at what time does it start? 4 o'clock?
It sounds right.
I think
it's 3 or 4.
Okay, well, whatever. When the new league year starts. So anyway, point is, I think that, I don't know. I'm going based off of the reports and some of what Boomer was saying about the other reports and just doing the math. It sounds like the Daniel Jones could be a factor here too with Minnesota.
Yep.
And Rodgers waiting on either Pittsburgh or Minnesota versus going just to the Giants. Whereas maybe the Giants had their, you know, had their sights set on Stafford. He said no. Had their sights set on plan B, according to Connor Hughes of SNY yesterday, was saying that Rodgers was the Giants' plan B. A lot of reporters have kind of alluded to the same thing. If Rodgers wanted the Giants, I think that would be a done deal. It doesn't seem like he wants the Giants. It seems like he'd rather go to Pittsburgh or potentially Minnesota, depending on what options are out there. So I think the Giants are waiting here. And then the question is going to be, okay, well, let's say Rodgers goes elsewhere, which I would bet that it's going to happen. What about Russell Wilson? Well, what if Rodgers goes to Minnesota and Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh? Then what? What are the Giants do? The only guy left, Daniel Jones. We know they're not going there.
Well, I mean, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but would you want the Giants?
No, I wouldn't.
Exactly. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now. What complicates this from the Giants' perspective is that the Steelers, theoretically, and we just mentioned those three quarterbacks, they could sign any of the three. Same with the Vikings. The Giants only have two of the three because they're not going to bring back Daniel Jones. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh. I think Jones stays with the Vikings. And I think the Giants get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I still get the feeling, I don't know, man.
And I'm not married to that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Wilson could stay in Pittsburgh. Rodgers could go to the Vikings. There's a couple of different machinations for sure. But I see, I don't see the Giants walking out of the saying, all right, we're in a good spot.
Do you think the Vikings want Aaron Rodgers?
Anything is just a guess. I have no idea.
And here's why I asked that.
Yeah, okay, I would.
Here's why I asked it that way. And maybe the other or the better question is, which team? Because I asked it that way because if the Vikings do want Rodgers and the Steelers do want Rodgers, which one do you think would be best for Aaron Rodgers? Which situation?
Vikings.
Right. Then if the Vikings get Rodgers, the Giants are screwed because you would think Russell Wilson back to Pittsburgh would make some sense. As opposed to the other options that they have, I don't think the Steelers are going to be knocking down Daniel Jones' door.
No, or Kirk Cousins or guys like that. I agree.
They wanted to bring back Fields, but just not at the cost that the Jets ended up getting him at. So if Rodgers, I don't know if the Vikings really want him. If they do, then I think Rodgers might choose Minnesota over Pittsburgh for a few different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would leave the Giants potentially without Russell Wilson, assuming he goes back to Pittsburgh.
Possible.
Okay, and then what?
He's screwed even more than you've been screwed.
So the Giants kind of need a favor from their old friend Daniel Jones.
Because if
Minnesota wants Jones, that would lead Rodgers, you would think, to the Steelers, and then maybe they get their C option in Russell Wilson. The Giants get Russell Wilson.
See, the decision's going to really come from Rodgers here, I would imagine, more so than anybody else. But if I'm Daniel Jones, who also has influence on this, as we just laid out, to me it's appealing if I'm Jones to remain with Kevin O'Connell for a year, and as McCarthy kind of eases back with some weapons, who knows if McCarthy's ready to play right away. If he is ready to play right away, who knows if he plays well right away. Vikings have to kind of win now because they're kind of a win-now team at the other positions with Jefferson, etc. And, you know, maybe you parlay it into a Darnold situation where Daniel Jones is sitting there saying, all right, I know they drafted McCarthy high, but I think I'm better because he's been around them a little bit at the facility. And with Darnold gone, I'm thinking I have a chance to win and to put up numbers, and then I bounce, and then they play McCarthy, and I get $100 million like Sam Darnold just got.
If I'm Minnesota, I just don't understand that thinking. From Jones' perspective, yes. If you're Minnesota and you have McCarthy in waiting, and you have enough talent right now to legitimately compete in the NFC.
Yeah.
How the hell do you not go full bore after Aaron Rodgers? To me, it's the perfect fit.
Maybe they don't think he's got enough left. Maybe they think
you're going to sign Daniel Jones instead. Now, if you're telling me it's because they believe McCarthy's going to take over, that's a different story. But then if that's the case, then if I'm Daniel Jones, why would I want to go there? Maybe I go to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. That's possible. I mean, if the writing's on the wall and it's been either straight up, you know, communicated to you or at least strongly intimated, hey, Danny, you know, if he's right, he's the guy. Well, I think that kind of shapes Daniel Jones's decision. I think if there's anything nebulous about the situation, I think Daniel Jones should want to stay. He's already in the building, already sees the offense, already knows the offense, and they've got a lot of weapons. So I think he can put some points on the board and, I don't say reestablish himself. I don't know if he's going for 30-something touchdowns like Darnold did a year ago, but play reasonably well enough to entice a team out there for 2026 to throw him, as I said, around $100 million like Darnold got. But if the Vikings love McCarthy and they've told Jones that, then I would agree. Now you've got to go to a spot where you think you could get on the field and reestablish yourself somewhere else, which would be Indianapolis, which could be Pittsburgh, wouldn't be the Giants, was already here. The Giants they're boxed in a spot now. Doesn't mean they can't get this thing right, but the options are dwindling here.
And there might be another option, one that's been brought up during the season. I don't know how realistic it is or not. We'll get to that when we come back and continue with your calls as well. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
On the Fan, talking football, talking quarterback situation for both the Jets and Giants. Jets got their guy Justin Fields yesterday. What are your thoughts? 888-808-1019. Giants don't have a guy yet. They tried for Stafford. Didn't happen. They're trying for Rodgers. Doesn't seem likely. Who knows about Russell Wilson? What about another option, BT? Because it seems like when the music stops, the Giants might be left without a chair. I just saw a report from Jordan Schultz, I believe it is. Let me just confirm that. La, 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 la. Yeah, Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. Remember he got into an issue with, was it Ian Rappaport? Was that right, Hoff, that there was an issue with Schultz and Rappaport?
At
over
a Starbucks.
Ooh, yeah, reporter beef. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Do you remember exactly what happened? I think one of the two, I think it was Schultz who approached Rappaport, if I'm not mistaken.
They had different information on a story, and Schultz was accusing him of, like, you know, false information or something like that.
A little reporter.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
A little reporter.
Okay.
Anyway,
this is
Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. He reported on Monday that the Patriots have had discussions on trading quarterback Joe Milton.
Oh, we've heard that name, okay.
And they would like to trade him. This is a quote from the story that I'm reading, according to Schultz here from Fox Sports, and would like to trade him to the right situation to continue his development in the NFL, should get a deal done. New England loves Milton, but Drake Maye's the franchise quarterback. They just signed Josh Dobbs to a two-year, $8 million contract to be the backup. So now, part one of the equation is, according to Jordan Schultz, New England is open to trading Joe Milton.
Mm-hmm.
Now I ask you, what the hell would the value be for Joe Milton? They drafted him in the sixth round.
Oh, boy. And he hasn't played enough where you're like, okay, that's going to obviously...
In one game, like...
Yeah, geez. It would be filled with a lot of, like, triggers. Like, if he plays, you know, X amount of snaps, and he does this, and he does that, and, you know, fours, fives converted to a four, or a four to a three, it wouldn't be over the top unless you start to get a bidding war. Joe Milton's very highly regarded around the NFL. A lot of people like him. You know, I know Tiki's talked about him a lot. We brought his name up a lot. He's an interesting player.
He might be the one guy that could change the feel about the current crappy quarterback situation, no?
I don't disagree. Yeah, I'm with you. Now, would it be a situation where, let's say, the Giants? Now, if you're the Patriots, you want to get him out of the AFC, I would imagine. Listen, not that you turned down a great deal in the AFC, but if you can have a similar deal, ship him out to the NFC, why not? Would you be okay with trading him to the Giants with the Super Bowls? Yeah, I don't think that would get in the way. If the Giants did get Joe Milton here, and if I had to take a guess, I'm going to say maybe a fourth. I'm just throwing that out. Could be way off. But would that then prevent you, or should it prevent you, from also taking a swing at Shedeur Sanders at three? Like, why not strengthen
or
numbers?
Or trading up for Cam Ward.
Or trading up for Cam.
Here's the thing. I would say...
Or trading down for Dart.
I would think a fourth... Yeah, I'm not saying I'd be opposed to that.
Get two quarterbacks in there.
I would think a fourth would be a little light. Don't you think, just based off of the... I'm not saying I'm not saying he's worth more than that.
Yeah.
I'm saying supply and demand. Teams need quarterbacks. Milton, what he put on film, even if it's for a half of an NFL game, whatever it may be, for one NFL game, teams need quarterbacks. The potential that he put out there, based on the fact that you took him in the sixth round, you'd be like, all right, I'll give you a fourth. But if I'm the one, I'd be like, no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're looking for at least a number two.
Two?
Maybe a three and a four. I mean, I think you're going to have multiple teams. Like, the Giants are going to be the only team knocking on the Patriots' door, and the Patriots aren't going to be looking to give them away.
No, nor should they be. But let's examine that, because you said before that there's going to be, you know, the teams that need quarterbacks. Well, yeah, if the market heats up in a way that I don't necessarily think it will for Milton, only because I do think that Pittsburgh's going to satisfy their quarterback spot with somebody other than Joe Milton. So we scratch them off the list.
Yeah,
okay?
I would think it would be a team that's still rebuilding.
Colts, maybe?
Right.
Giants.
Well, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I mean, by the way, you could look at Arizona if they want to move on from Kyler Murray. Like, you don't know. And teams need, even if it were a backup situation, mm-hmm. or a situation where you're going to have somebody, two quarterbacks competing for a job,
yeah.
I just think that there's value there. Quarterback's value has gone through the roof, especially a young kid like that with great potential. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I would think, here's why I say the four is light. I would do that in a heartbeat. Like, I would rip Joe Shane to shreds if he didn't go get Joe Milton for a fourth round pick. What are you, insane? I would give up a third easy. Now, two, I'd have, it'd be a little tougher, mm-hmm. but easily I would give up a third round pick for Milton.
They would never do, but I got news for you. Muji should give up a four today. I mean, to your point.
So now we move on from the four. Then
but I'm not giving up, but you also said a two. No, I mean, there's no way I'm giving up a two for a guy who's played one half. It was a sixth round pick.
So maybe it's a three. Maybe it's a three and a four. I don't know.
There's a way to satisfy that in multiple drafts here.
You wouldn't take a flyer on giving up a second round pick for him?
A second steep, man. A second?
Okay, but what's the difference with him or Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart?
I don't know. The only difference, literally, not that this means anything big picture, the only thing that is truly different is that at the time they were drafted, Milton was universally by every team thought to be a sixth-round talent.
I know.
And these two gentlemen are thought to be top 10 picks. Yeah. And Ward probably won, and Sanders top five or six.
But in a down
draft.
Doesn't
mean it's right, though.
In a quarterback draft that is not a very good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Milton has shown more, you know, in his first. Look, I don't. Again, I'm saying I don't know. I'm just saying what I would, as a fan, what I would like to see. Like, if you're telling me, the Patriots say to the Giants, hey, you could have Milton, he's available, we'll take a fourth round pick. Like,
I'd do it right now. Fourth round done.
Okay, so then let's move up.
I'd probably do a third.
Okay, what about a three and a four? Future four?
Same draft or different drafts?
Good, different drafts. A three this year and a four next or whatever.
I mean, I'd try to squeeze two fours rather than a four to three. Whatever, I mean, you got to negotiate, but we're in the neighborhood. Like the kid.
And then
he's big. You
would say no to a second round
pick. I can't give up a second round pick.
I would say yes. I could be overpaying.
Yep.
But I'm desperate for a quarterback.
I hear you.
And I don't like the options that they have currently. I'm okay with trading up for Cam Ward, but the way that I would want to have that decision being made is Shane and Dable and whoever else is making those decisions as far as Shane's, you know, front office, the guys that we saw on Hard Knocks, do they love Cam Ward? Or does the consensus say they love Milton? Whichever one you love, mm-hmm. go get, and then you could use, let's say it's Milton, and you trade a second-round pick for Milton, then you could use your third pick elsewhere. Or if you love Cam Ward, you're going to have to trade up to
get Cam Ward. So if they trade for Milton, the Giants, he's starting right away?
I mean,
you have a little battle? How do you view it from that point?
I mean, it's a good question. They could probably still bring in a cheap veteran like they're trying to do anyway.
Like a Wentz just to get hit?
I guess, just to be out there for a couple of weeks before Milton gets acclimated. Maybe. You're going to need another quarterback anyway. You have Tommy DeVito. You're going to need another quarterback anyway.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, go get sign
Mariota.
The veteran.
To take some hits.
Yeah, even if Cousins, I guess, would be a different situation. I'm saying if he shook free, but like, I don't want a guy. Milton is going to be my starter. If I'm the Giants, Cam Ward, I say after Stafford, Cam Ward is my top option. Now, if Milton's in play, it's Milton and Ward. Whoever they think is best, those are my options. And if I get them on my team, they are going to be the starter at some point soon this year. So whoever the quarterback is, the veteran quarterback that I bring in, which is why I wouldn't go after Rodgers if I'm them, it's not going to be a, hey, you're going to start for this year while we develop this guy.
Well, and think about this too, Sal. There's one more thing. Like, I can't give up a second round pick, but I'm not running the Giants. Yeah. So if they look at his tape and they're like, he's better than Sanders and we like him better than Cam Ward, and if you're prepared to take one of those players with the third pick or maybe move up to one to get one of them, you're not going to move up to one to get Sanders, but maybe move up to one to get Ward, why wouldn't you give up a two?
That's my point.
I get it.
You're getting great value there.
But a sixth? If he wasn't drafted six, that's just barely drafted.
Things change. That happens all the time. The other way, we have breaking news. Hoff is telling me the quarterback situation.
Yes.
I have not seen this.
So we have official. We know where Daniel Jones is going.
Vikings.
Colts.
Whoa!
He has chosen the Colts.
Rodgers,
one-year deal.
Wow. All right, here
Whoa.
We go.
See, I'm not shocked at that because
good job,
I think
Huff.
Jones probably looked at them. Hey, man, that was such a good fit. You
Daniel
just
Jones,
you can see
Colts.
It coming.
All right,
wow. So now the Vikings are still an open spot.
It's got to be Rodgers.
No, well, I mean,
it's got to be. They don't want Wilson.
No, it could be McCarthy.
Yeah, no, true. But I'm saying like Rodgers to play, and
what
then
what this does is this hurts the Giants.
It does,
because now the Steelers and Vikings both in the market for a veteran quarterback. At least we were thought to be. Steelers for sure,
definitely,
and we believe the Vikings are. They are in the market for a quarterback, but we're assuming a veteran quarterback. Does this mean that Minnesota now more likely to pursue Rodgers? And either way, Rodgers has two options that are far greater than the Giants. So you would think that this eliminates him. The way the Giants really get screwed is if Rodgers goes to Minnesota, Russell Wilson back to Pittsburgh.
Oh, boy. Hey, Hoff, real fast. Did you have the terms of that? I want to see what kind of money they paid him.
No money yet.
Okay.
Nothing yet, but
I'm gonna guess
for the Colts.
One-year deal.
It is one year.
Yeah.
I was going to say, actually, maybe two. All right, so 1 year.
Hey,
I'm
going to
guess
on,
10, 11, 12, something like that. 10, 12?
Yeah, that's what the Giants should have given him. Instead, they give him $40 million. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Remember, Francisco Lindor coming up in about an hour from now, right at noon.
My buddy.
Shortstop should be MVP. Switch hitting shortstop at that, BT. He will be joining us at noon, so you don't want to miss that. We'll continue with the conversation on the quarterbacks, Jets, and Giants when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.